the volume.
Colin Cowherd podcast presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's a lot of reasons. It's America's number one sportsbook. Incredibly easy to use. Super safe, totally secure, super fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. You're not going to get that anywhere. Also, same game parlay bets, live betting. It's the best. Hey, if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I did it in 15 seconds. Get started now. Sign up. Please use the promo code Colin so they know we sent you. Please use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Monday Morning Podcast. We're going to have a correspondent from Paris. I kid you not. Matt Mosley is in Paris. He'll be joining us in about 10 to 12 minutes. So it's a bizarre Sunday. And I think the easiest way for me to sum up Sunday is that there's just nobody in this league good enough to overcome key injuries. And now we're in late November. And we're seeing key injuries. I mean, Dallas, you got your two best receivers are gone. Your left tackle's gone. Your two best pass rushers, Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, gone. Well, what are you going to be? I mean, what really is Dallas? When Dallas is missing four of their top eight players in Arrowhead against now a healthier Kansas City team, my takeaway was they were competitive. Mike McCarthy's clock management is a head scratcher, but I thought the Cowboys were competitive. But if you're wondering why they struggled offensively, when do they win without Tyron Smith and Amari Cooper in the lineup? In the last 3 years, they don't. Buffalo can't run the ball. Well, they're not good enough to win games if they don't run the football. Well, what about the Seahawks? Well, we know their offensive line is suboptimal. We know Russell Wilson's not healthy, and we know Pete Carroll's concepts are outdated. You just start looking around this league. The last 2 weeks, Tom Brady struggled. Why? Doesn't have Gronk and AB. Nobody in this league. Tennessee. Tannehill had four picks. Why? He's missing Derrick Henry. And now all these coordinators can see what he can't do without Derrick Henry. This league right now has no tens. Detroit's a 1 to a 0, 1 through 10. There are no tens. There's a couple of eights. But now the Rams don't have Robert Woods. Do you think that's a uniquely gifted team? I do not. I think they're thin at wide receiver now. So my takeaway on this Sunday was don't get too worked up. Parity drives this sport. It's not college football. There's about eight teams I think can win the Super Bowl. I thought that a month ago. I think it now, and it's mostly the same teams. I want to talk about Arizona-Seattle. It'd be easy to lament the Seahawks. I'm from the Pacific Northwest, and for years I've been bagging on Pete Carroll and the house of cards this is. But I'd rather give Arizona credit. Cliff Kingsbury would be my coach of the year. I think it's really interesting that it always helps when you're backup. There's a certain symmetry with your starter and your backup. You saw that with the Ravens this weekend. The backup was like a poor man's Lamar Jackson. And Colt McCoy has been around the league for a long time. He's mobile. But when you watch the Arizona Cardinals with a backup quarterback going to San Francisco and Seattle, my takeaway is they're not as dynamic, but they look really, really organized and well-coached. They've had injuries. They've lost J.J. Watt. They bring in Zach Ertz. They've had a ton of moving parts. And I think it's fascinating that the two teams in this league over the last 5 to 6 weeks that I think are the most consistent performers are the New England Patriots with a rookie quarterback and the Arizona Cardinals. We're seeing a lot of roller coaster in this league right now. You get injuries. The Bills look great. They look terrible. Tennessee's unbeatable. Then they look awful. I have gotten the exact same performance out of the New England Patriots for 5 straight weeks. You go to the second half that Houston Texans win. I've gotten the exact same performance. New England, by the way, has the longest winning streak in the league at 5. And why? Because they check virtually every box except deep threat. Arizona, go look at their schedule. Go look at their performances. They've had one stinker all year, and they've done it in the last couple of weeks with a backup quarterback. I think they've got a bye week. Arizona right now, their consistency, having to go to backup at quarterback, and New England's consistency, especially on defense, are the two most impressive teams to me in this league. So I said last week, the team that's not in the playoffs as of now, but feels like a playoff team to me is the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, I had picked them to upset almost the exact score. I picked them to upset the Packers. But do you know Minnesota is the only team in the league that has led every team they've played by at least 7 points? When I watch Kirk Cousins play, I always feel like he's, you know, when they talk about like a median home price in a community, that means half the prices of the homes are higher than that and half are lower. I feel like he's the median quarterback in the NFL. If you're not as good as Kirk, you have to draft another quarterback or acquire one. To be a Super Bowl team, you have to be better than Kirk Cousins. But he is good enough, and this really symbolizes the Vikings. They're good enough to beat anybody, but not good enough to beat anybody by a large margin. So their margins are so thin, that's why they're in all these close games. And whenever you hear that term, the median house price, that's my way of describing Kirk Cousins. I believe half the quarterbacks in the league are worse, half are better. Kirk Cousins now is 4-3-1 against Aaron Rodgers. There's something there on Minnesota. I think Minnesota is going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to win a playoff game. I think Mike Zimmer's perhaps the most underrated coach in the league. And I feel like the Vikings are the Colts of the NFC. And I want to go talk about the Colts because they hammered the Buffalo Bills. And I feel the exact same way with the Colts. They can beat virtually anybody in the league, but they're not special enough to go up against the best teams generally and blow them out. Now, Buffalo has no running game and it worked. But we spend a lot of time talking about the Arizona Cardinals have gone out. And after 1 year of Josh Rosen, they moved off him, right? And they went and got Kyler Murray, and it's been Mardi Gras. Remember how much pushback the Colts got for Carson Wentz? Everybody's hiding now. When they went and spent that money on Carson Wentz, the Colts, Chris Ballard, got dogged by people. Are you all watching Carson Wentz? You take out the two Tennessee games, he has been a Pro Bowler. He made a scramble play. He ducked under a Bills pass rush and ran for about 25 yards, first down. They eventually scored. We got to be fair about this stuff. When teams make big moves and it doesn't work, we want the coach fired and the GM canned. The Carson Wentz move for the Colts has been an absolute home run for them. You look at their remaining schedule. You look at how they matched up physically with Buffalo. I said it last week. The Colts and the Vikings, to me, feel like playoff teams in the AFC and the NFC, respectively. They wouldn't make it today, but they're getting really close. You know, Baker Mayfield played really poorly against Detroit, but I'm going to give him a pass here. Torn labrum, bad heel, and let's be honest, he didn't have one of his deep threats. OBJ is now gone. When I think of Baker Mayfield, I've always felt he has this sort of, you know, people love his chutzpah and kind of love his chip on his shoulder. He may have cost himself somewhere between $50 and $100 million over the last couple of weeks playing. I said this 2 months ago when he had to play Justin Herbert, Mac Jones, the Ravens a couple of times, and the Lions. I said, Andrew Berry is going to sit down and they're going to make decisions on Baker Mayfield. He was outrageously inconsistent and bad against Detroit. And I give him a pass because if you got a bad heel, you're going to overcompensate, torn labrum. He really shouldn't be playing. But when I look at Baker, Baker probably would have been best served to not play in the last couple of weeks. But his attitude is, I'm going to show you. He does it at his press conference. He did it to cops in college. He's got a real, I'm going to show you quality to him when he squared up that safety and it ripped up his shoulder. But I think Baker Mayfield has cost himself a fortune playing in these games. I'm not going to rip him. I think he's probably in pain on some of these throws. Sometimes you're better served to say, you know what? This is what Kyler Murray did. We got a capable backup. Let me get healthy. I think Arizona is going to come back, Kyler Murray off this bye, and they are going to roll people. I don't know if Baker's going to be healthy the rest of the year. And now with injuries adding up, I don't think Cleveland's a playoff team. All right, Matt Mosley, my buddy, Doomsday Podcast forever, longtime Cowboy writer for ESPN and now Fox Sports. He watched the Cowboys game in Paris, which is a first. So it sounds remarkably clear because we did a brief test before you came on. Why are you in Paris?
Well, we had Colin. What are you having tonight, by the way? It looked like a Shasta or something. Does it look as...
It was just a club soda. Very boring.
Yeah, it's not as fun as usual. Before the pandemic, like right when it was hitting, that March when we were sort of understanding and accepting this was about a year and a half or so ago, we were within days of leaving on this long planned trip with my in-laws and my daughter and wife. And this was when it got rescheduled. And I didn't have a lot of say in it. Probably a week in which the Cowboys play two games like in 5 or 6 days. Not the greatest timing, but Paris is beautiful any time of the year. Colin and a lot of NFL fans over here. So it's worked out.
I know.
It's worked out nicely for me. I've had a lot of help here at the hotel. I'm in the shadows of the Eiffel Tower as we speak, and Mo, the night manager, has been just incredible and has helped put me in. He got me on a laptop watching the game, and then at one point, he actually had me on his phone. But I was able to watch the whole thing, and what a pitiful performance it was by the Cowboys.
Listen, you didn't have Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, Amari Cooper, Tyron Smith. CeeDee Lamb got hurt after the first half. I'm not trying to create excuses, but you watch Chris Jones dismantle the offensive line, and I think to myself, well, if the Cowboys have DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory, Patrick Mahomes, who didn't have a great day, he's probably under the same duress Dak is. To me, the game was Chris Jones wrecked the Cowboys front. That was the game to me.
Yeah, he's a monster. And since he's been able to sort of move inside, I thought the interior of the Cowboys offensive line, I mean, Colin, when do you see Zach Martin give up a sack? It happens like maybe once a year. It happened in this game. Every few years, one player almost makes a career against the Cowboys. Now, this is a good player, so I don't want to act like this is like his coming out party, but he did. You're right. He took over. But I guess the part I'm not ready to dismiss because of injuries is this quarterback, who we've all celebrated, and I wrote a whole column on Fox Sports about, oh my gosh, what a measuring stick game against the great Mahomes. Mahomes has all the skins on the wall. Mahomes didn't need this. Mahomes has already accomplished pretty much everything, and he's kind of got it rolling again. This was a great opportunity for Dak. And while we can blame some of the issue on the offensive line, he wasn't sharp. And he was missing on throws. And even when he hit throws, like Cedric Wilson would have to go to the ground to make a play down there. And when they got anywhere near the goal line or in the red zone, they couldn't function. So I thought the quarterback played poorly here.
Yeah, I mean, Zach's never been an elegant, easy thrower. And when you rush Zach and he doesn't have Amari Cooper, his best technician, it's pretty obvious he's marginal. I always said this. There are guys in this league, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Dak. When you pressure them, Jared Goff, significantly, when you pressure them, they dip far more than Mahomes pressured or Rodgers pressured or Kyler Murray pressured. And, you know, I thought when Dak can't set his feet, he's just not a beautiful arm talent. Is that fair?
I think that is fair. I just love hearing you describe beautiful arm talent. I mean, I'm getting ready to go to Louvre tomorrow, and it makes me think of that. Some of the things I'll see. I do think he needs to get set. I think it's unfair, probably, and not a great comparison for him when we try to go, okay, let's look at him next to Mahomes, because the guy makes a living off those sort of off schedule and off balance throws. And I think you're right to say that Dak needs to be in a rhythm and have sort of everything yes. under him in his base. That doesn't yes. mean on the run he can't make some nice throws. But I think what's weird about Dak, and he needs to get to this point, if he's in a poor rhythm, which he was in the first half, you sort of expect he's a good enough player. We think of him maybe as a top five type quarterback, that he's going to at some point get you. He's going to get going. And he really didn't. And late in that game, he was still, he made a few throws late. But late in that game, I was looking and he had thrown for like 136 yards. That's like a Jalen Hurts performance. And I know that's unfair because Jalen's actually playing fairly well. But like today, the Eagles won. And I noticed Jalen Hurts had about 140 yards. He played fine. But the Eagles won for a lot of different reasons. They ran the ball, the defense, all that kind of thing. Dak needs to be better than that. Okay, if we are going to judge him as an elite player, I just don't think he can keep having – I mean, this is two of these performances in the past 3 weeks. So I don't know if we want to blame it on some kind of lingering injury issue. His base isn't right. I'm not sure. I'm just saying I have a tendency when he plays like this to not immediately go, well, he just didn't have Amari or CD got hurt. I just don't think he was right today, even before CD suffered that probable concussion.
Hi, everybody. Enjoy a football feast this Thanksgiving by winning $150 on a $5 bet when you join the FanDuel Sportsbook. You got to join, though. New customers, 30-1 odds. Just place your first bet on any NFL team to win Thanksgiving Day. Be honest, Cowboys will get healthier. The Raiders are lost at sea. I take Dallas to win big at home against the Raiders. Listen, it's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. When you win, you get paid in little as 2 hours, and nobody else can say that. Sign up at the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The promo code's Colin. Get in on the action. Win $150 on a $5 bet. Please use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N, when you sign up. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I would take the Cowboys hosting the Raiders, winning big. They've got to be healthier than they were against the Chiefs. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbookfanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona.
Well, I watched the last 2 weeks. I've seen Brady struggle, Dak struggle, Baker struggle, Josh Allen struggle, Russell Wilson struggle. I look around this league. I mean, the Bears couldn't move it. Derek Carr and the Raiders couldn't move it. I got to tell you, it is really rare to get like 14 out of 17 weeks, good quarterback play. You know who I've watched the last 2 weeks who's really comfortable is Kirk Cousins. He's been terrific. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert's regressed. The Steelers are a mess at quarterback. You know, I think what's happening in the last 2 to 3 weeks, you're seeing more injuries on the offensive front, more injuries at wide receiver. And so you're asking Dak with backup left tackles and backup receivers to go into Arrowhead. I mean, I don't think he could hear much any time they got near the goal line. So not that I'm giving Dak a pass, but, you know, if somebody asked me to describe this Sunday, it was bad quarterback play. Tannehill was bad. It's funny. I watched Jalen Hurts. Colt McCoy, all things considered, was fairly nimble. So I don't disagree with you with Dak, but I do think the injuries are mounting up. We're now mid-November, and you got a lot of backups playing. And that's kind of what I saw around the league today. A lot of backups playing, and there's a reason they're backups. I mean, the discouraging thing to me with Dallas is when Tyron Smith is hurt, it is not the same offense. That is totally clear. And the second thing is The clock mismanagement, again by McCarthy, is just egregiously poor. God, I just, and you know what? Like the Packers have their problems. Crosby now is washed. He can't kick field goals. Brady is inconsistent, really needs AB and Gronk. So every good team's got an issue. The Rams right now, let's be honest, it's Cooper Kupp, and then you're praying brittle OBJ is healthy. All the good teams in the NFC and AFC, I mean, the Bills can't run the football. Can't run it. The Chiefs don't run the football. But I look at the Cowboys, the only thing that really troubles me is close games and McCarthy.
Yeah. Just the head coach. What have we hit? The head coach, the quarterback. I hope the psyche of this team can overcome Hilaire, you know, pointing at them. I just hope they're able to overcome, you know, did you see the taunting? Golly.
Yes.
This league right now, you know, a guy just had a playful taunt or point. Now, you know, is egregious, and we're worried about the youth of America seeing young Clyde go into the end zone. And that was a great little option. By the way, I just think today there's a couple of things that you just said that were interesting to me. One was that I think should be the headline for this podcast is Colt McCoy was fairly nimble. I like that, and I also like that what this league has done to us is like it makes people covet Kirk Cousins. We spend the majority of the year saying, "God, can you believe they pay him what they pay him?" Every year it's like, get rid of this guy, and then he'll go on a stretch. You're totally right. They're 5-5 now. They beat the Packers. The Vikings fans are going crazy, and we dismissed them like 3 weeks ago, didn't we? I mean, I think you and I were together after the Cowboys beat the Vikings. And that was a big win because they had a backup quarterback.
You know what? The way I look at the Cowboys after this game, very little at the league is at the bottom. Detroit is really bad. Very little is at the top. This is why we're getting all these upsets. Everybody's within 4 points of each other. I mean, Jacksonville and Detroit are kind of over their skis in personnel. I think the best teams in the league... I think Kansas City now is back to being one of the best teams. But I think when I look at Dallas, I don't think Dallas or any of these teams. I mean, good God, Gronk and AB are out and the Buccaneers are lost offensively. I just think this, Matt, I don't think Dallas or any of these teams are good enough to miss two receivers, a left tackle, and the quarterback's running for his life. I don't think anybody in this league is good enough to win that way.
Although they did it without the quarterback on the road in an incredibly tough environment against the Vikings. I mean, I think the Cowboys, depth-wise, that's been one of our big things we keep coming back to. Now, part of it's on defense. And you said to Marcus Lawrence, you know, they haven't had him since the first week. He's been out forever. Gregory's out for a little while right now. They still are functional. I mean, you hold the Chiefs to 19
that's
points.
Right.
You should win.
Yeah.
You should win the game.
And they were healthier. To me, my takeaway was, God, if Grandy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence come back here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, this team can play with anybody. I really believe that.
And Parsons can mess you up. I mean, he's tremendous. His closing speed. You saw what he did on the strip sack. I think that my biggest takeaway, Colin, is I think this O-line, and I think that's McCarthy's biggest worry. I think he thought he had gotten them to the point where they could continue to function on the road or wherever when they are compromised. And you have a starter at right tackle in Lyle Collins, and they thought they were going to be covered over there on the left side. And then their interior of the line, I thought, just was a mess. You know, they haven't really particularly loved the way Connor Williams. I only bring these guys up because you're really good at actually knowing all these different offensive lines. And Connor Williams is someone who is just never been able to really bulk up. And he's an athletic guy. He's fine. But a guy like Jones or some heavy dudes can just run over him. So they've had a little bit of an issue lately because they kind of think, well, should we just bench that guy, you know, and have McGovern in there? Is McGovern the guy? They've been using McGovern. You see, they They put him in all these different little formations and all. So I think the biggest, the scary part for the Cowboys is just this mess of an O-line. And I agree on the defense. They're going to get some guys back eventually. And that could, that thing could get close to elite. I'm starting to hear with Tyron Smith some of the same things over the years we say against some of these NBA players. Oh, he'll be back. He'll be back. And they never really are. I mean, like, we pencil in Kristaps Porzingis. I'm using my Dallas connections as an example, for 30 games to miss every year. They're going to miss 20 to 30 games. If he gives you more than that, it's huge. I think we're there with Tyron Smith.
Yes.
Where he's like a, he's going to miss 6 or 7 games every year. He's really good. But I think for us to say, okay, this team is fine and they can be great with Tyron Smith, I mean, it's just rare that he's going to get you through a season anymore. So they're to the point where they need to start thinking about a long-term replacement for him. That can't happen this season, but it'll have to happen in the offseason, perhaps.
Well, you were in Paris enjoying the sights of Europe. You're by the Eiffel Tower. Mm-hmm. I'm probably by a water tower here in Los Angeles, so I don't live that kind of life. I am about 5 miles from Bel Air, which sounds swankier than it is. So I want to throw a couple of things, because I know you were watching the Cowboys today and didn't watch probably a lot of the rest of the league. And I do feel like my earlier point, which is I just don't think anybody in this league, including the Chiefs earlier this year, is good enough to overcome injuries, and the Cowboys had a ton of them. And I, the team that blows me away in this league, Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim have gone into San Francisco and Seattle, not only won convincingly, added Zach Ertz. They looked so well coached today. To go on the road in that division with Colt McCoy, and Colt's always been fine. Colt's like Case Keenum. You can win games with him. But the one team in this league that I'm blown away by, they've dealt with a lot of injuries. J.J. Watt, they add pieces. They lose Kyler. What do you make of Arizona? What do you make of Kingsbury, who appears to be a better pro coach than a college coach?
Yeah, I think people from my part of the country are the last people that are going to get on board with Cliff, because we saw firsthand what the college Cliff looked like. But even those of us who sort of knew that guy are coming around. Now, what he was smart enough to do, and he's had to fire a few people there, but he surrounded himself with veterans. One of the great things you can do, and McVay did it early on. He thought, you know what, yeah, Wade Phillips would be helpful to my credibility and probably teaching me and helping me. Now, that didn't last, but it got him to a Super Bowl. They had some early success with Wade there. I think young coaches need to recognize right away they need some veterans around them. And so I think that's a good staff. I think that helps him immensely. And then he can create and bring all his ideas in. And then also it helps. I mean, do we think Lincoln Riley? Sometimes we think of Lincoln Riley as the next great thing. Oh, this guy could go to wherever, or this guy could be a pro coach. Lincoln Riley is Lincoln Riley when he has a great quarterback. And what Kingsbury has is a guy that fits what he's done forever,
yeah,
which is air raid concepts that sort of is his background. And so I think as long as those guys have people who fit them, for instance, this year, Lincoln Riley had a quarterback problem. Now, he's got a young guy that's really talented that he's put in, but OU's not that good. You saw my Bears beat them. And quite honestly, I know they only have one loss. They're not a very good team. And they're not really good at quarterback, although that guy could end up being really, really good at some point. He's just not there yet. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's the point is Kingsbury found his kingmaker. And by the way, Kyler found his. I mean, Kyler had always been great. So he'd worked under high school coaches, college coaches. But, you know, it's funny as I watch Seattle and Pete Carroll. You know, I was saying this the other day. If you take Belichick out as a defensive coach, You look around the league at defensive coaches, Ron Rivera and Vic Fangio and Brian Flores. There's a lot of these guys struggling. And a lot of them are struggling because they don't have the magical offensive coordinator. Pete Carroll, struggling. Ron Rivera, struggling. But Belichick has Josh McDaniel. And then he can just give that offense to Josh, mm-hmm. worry about Mac, and then he can go to the defensive side. I do believe, and I think Kingsbury and McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur, Bruce Arians, Andy Reid, and Kellen Moore to a large degree. Mike McCarthy has his, you know, special sauce. If you're a defensive coach in this league, if you don't have a really high-end offensive coordinator, the rules work against you. I mean, you look around this league right now. Kellen Moore is going to get a massive job offer. And we talked about this. Denver's probably going to offer Kellen Moore the job. Do you think he takes it? Boise, Denver, not that far away?
I think he's going to be very selective. Now, you got to be careful because when you have the opportunity, a lot of times you need to go ahead and take it. You know, Matt Campbell, like on the college level, has had tons of opportunities. I still think the guy's a great coach, but he's lost 5 games this year. You know, things can go south on you a little bit. Kellen, though, is wired a little different in this sense. Guys come into Dallas and have a different relationship with Jerry than you would with almost any owner. Maybe Kraft is similar in some respect, but Jerry sort of makes these guys believe that he's somehow made their careers. I don't know if that's always accurate, but that's why the Sean Paytons of the world, Sean had a chance to go coach the Raiders, and obviously he made the great decision to stay and not take that job. And then he got the New Orleans job a couple of years later. So what I'm telling you is this, unless it's the perfect situation, Jerry will try to up the ante and keep him. He recognizes that this guy is great, even to the point where if this thing went wobbly and Dak, like Jerry's thinking of a way where he could keep Kellen, and if this thing got wobbly, move McCarthy on out. He would never say that. He would never, and I'm not even saying he said it to someone I've talked to. I'm just saying from years of being a Jerry observer, I think that's probably something that has crossed his mind, that how could I have one of my own, Sean Payton, McVay's, how could I have one of my guys? And why do I have to supply these other franchises? I guarantee you it's crossed Jerry's mind.
Yeah, it's interesting. Of course.
How to make this happen. And I don't know that you can. I would say McCarthy is a guy that gives you numerous opportunities a year to ponder getting rid of him. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even doubt this. I think it's very shrewd of you. I think it's very smart. Kellen's going to get 2 or 3 of these offers. And to your point, you know, Jerry has enough influence in the league that he probably went to Sean Payton and said, Sean, you're going to get a job, but that's a poorly run operation. Why don't you wait and I will be the first to sign off? And then Gail Benson calls and okay, you know, they know what they're mm-hmm. doing. The Benson mm-hmm. family, long owners, successful, organized. So I think you're right in the money. For the record, let me just throw a team out that's fascinating. I said this a couple of weeks ago. The league is obviously changing schematically. Jalen Hurts is so productive. Forget how, you know, the aesthetics of it. I'm sitting here watching him. The Saints have a tremendous top 5 defense. They were lost, completely lost, gaping holes. You know, the Eagles are going to have 3 picks potentially in the top 10 to 12. If Jalen Hurts is their guy, they could rebuild their defense in the first round if they hit on 3 guys. And it's a pretty good defensive draft. It's not a good quarterback draft. It's not a big running back draft. It's an excellent defensive draft. What do you make of the Eagles? You buy them?
I think the only reason we might even come close to buying them is because the division is so horrible. And so if you are even slightly competent, we sort of, I think, sometimes overreact. I'm not really buying them, even though I know Howie Roseman really well, and I like some of what they've tried to do. The problem, Colin, is he's on a roll right now. Philly can fall in love with you. They can fall out of love with you in a hurry. I still don't think that ownership has you have to have a true belief in a guy that's your franchise quarterback. And even though he's on a nice little run right now, I don't sense that they're anywhere close to that with Jalen Hurts. Now, to your point about the way he plays, he fascinates me because he's certainly not as athletic as Kyler. The reason I bring up Kyler is because they both played at OU.
And they both can do that RPO stuff and be maddening to a team.
He's more athletic than Baker. He certainly was not anywhere close to the college quarterback I think Baker was. Could he be a better NFL quarterback eventually than Baker Mayfield? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I feel like with Jalen, I pretty much get the same performance every week. Now, he's not throwing for 350. It's not what he is. And outside of Devontae Smith, they don't really have a field stretcher. But I when I watch Philadelphia, I look at them and I think to myself, you know what, man? This is why I'll defend Kirk Cousins. He's productive. In 4 to 5 weeks, Kirk Cousins is productive. Yes, he's got Justin Jefferson. Yes, he's got Adam Thielen. Yes, he's got Dalvin Cook. Okay, he takes advantage of it. I've watched him this year have one stinker. That was against Cleveland at home. He was awful. So was Baker. But, you know, I think overall my whole point on Philadelphia is in this division, he's a complete wild card. Let's be honest, the teams that face him are mostly facing him for the first time. It's like the first time you face Lamar. Lamar's come down a little bit, but the first time you face him, there's just a lot of things that you can watch stuff on film, and until your linebackers are in space with Jalen Hurts, it's a totally different story.
Yeah, you remember, I agree. And you remember when Cam Newton used to devastate defenses? He had a 2 or 3 year run where he was so great. And I'm not saying Jalen's there, but what used to be amazing about Cam, he was so big and powerful. Like he didn't look like he was fast. And then he would just lope for 15, 20 yards. Jalen, they're built differently. Okay. And Jalen actually is a smoother passer. Like his natural arm angles and just watching the mechanics of as a passer look better than Cam. But like Cam, he can kind of get out in the open and glide along. And that's kind of how he is. And I mean, he's a great leader. So I just think that's a place that each quarterback's live and they don't know if they like him yet. So that's a hard one. Yeah. I don't know when that'll happen. Or if they will embrace him.
I'm going to let you go back and have some champagne, live the sophisticated lifestyle, which you are so prone to do. I'm going to go and have a Bud Light and smoke a cigar and watch Chargers Steelers. That's my life.
I every time I think of you, I think of the hard scrabble life that you that you live. And I've got some Nutella. They love their Nutella here, although we like that too. And then this is a look at this. This is a Madeleine. This is a pastry. Where is it? There it is. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, that looks delicious. Very nice.
Very nice. Wee wee.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me. Okay. Traveling internationally. Thanks. Were you about to say I look thin or something? Okay.
No, definitely not that. But I think you look good.
All right. Good night.
See you, buddy.
Good night from Paris.
All right, folks, please subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Volume Sports. Push that subscribe button. Always appreciate it. Talk soon.
Volume.